Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called Doctors Are Still Baffled. Did the power of positive thinking really help cure this senator's paralysis? It's an interview with former Senator Omar Raines. Omar Raines is probably best known for his role as a California senator back in the 1970s and 80s. But later on, when he was 61, he suffered a brain aneurysm that should have ended his life, or at best, left him in a vegetative state. He spent a month in ICU, was carried home in a gurney, and was told by doctors he'd never walk again. But Omar had other plans, and in this audio, you'll hear the amazing story of the full recovery he made that may have you rethinking the power of your thoughts, beliefs, and goals. You'll also hear the three things Omar says all successful people have in common. Do you have these traits? You'll hear about the escalating factors doctors believe led up to Omar's aneurysm. He had no medical predisposition or physical warnings. You'll hear why doctors specifically told Omar not to try to fix his paralysis, why he did it anyway, and how. You'll hear the quick story that may have you questioning every coincidence that happens in your life. You'll also hear why giving back is so important to your own personal health and the amazing ways Omar is doing it. Omar says you shouldn't be in awe of great people in life. Everyone falls. So it's not a matter of how many times it happens. It's how many times you get up that affects your success. And in this audio, you'll hear all about the mindset that makes for greatness and Omar's amazing journey finding it. Now let's get going.
Hi, this is Chris Costello, and I've teamed up with Michael Senoff to bring you the world's best health-related interviews. So if you know anyone struggling with their weight, with cancer, diabetes, ADHD, autism, heart disease, or other health issues, send them over to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. And today we have former Central Coast Senator Omar Raines with us. Omar, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm delighted to join you, Kristen. Very much so.
So you've got quite a story. We're going to be talking about your book, Back to the Summit, and you're a former California senator, a politician on the global stage, a power-broking lawyer of A-list celebrities, and you've conquered some of the highest mountains in the world. Really an active kind of guy. But something happened to you when you were 61 years old. What happened?
As I approached the age of 61, I suffered the greatest challenge I'd ever encountered, and I had encountered quite a few throughout my life. But at that time, I suffered a ruptured brain aneurysm, a massive ruptured brain aneurysm, and an associated stroke that should have killed me, or at best left me in a vegetative state for the rest of my life.
So did you have any warning about this, or how did the events unfold?
I had no warning whatever, and apparently I had no genetic predisposition. But a cascade of events had occurred within about a nine-month period, starting with the death of my mother, very unexpected, then my only sibling, my brother, and my father, to whom my mother had been married 66 years, was failing fast. And then while shouldering all of what had already happened, my wife of approximately 30 years filed for divorce. And the doctors don't know, but they think the stress simply overwhelmed me, and my body broke. In any event, I ended up in a hospital in Sacramento, California. I have no idea how I got there, but I underwent about a nine-hour brain operation involving a lot of doctors and a new procedure in trying to address a brain aneurysm that had not been tried before, at least in Northern California. Thereafter, I was in a coma for 8 days, and when I came out of the coma, I was in critical condition near death in ICU for well over a month. And when ultimately I was allowed to leave the hospital, I was carried home on a gurney, paralyzed. And I was told that I would never walk again.
When they did the surgery, it was the first time this had been tried, right, on somebody with an aneurysm?
Apparently so. The technique had been developed very recently in London. And one of many, many miracles is that this particular hospital had on staff for a short time the only doctor in Northern California who had been trained in this new technique in London. And as it turned out, I was the last patient he saw. I mean, there were multiple physicians involved in the operation. But this physician, who actually was an interventionist radiologist, of all things, was the lead physician, and I was the last patient he saw before he left the following morning on a pre-planned trip to his home country of India.
You had a lot of really incredible synchronicities come together to kind of keep you alive at that point, it sounds like.
A number of them, yes. And, of course, that's what the book is all about, the steps toward recovery, which are accompanied by flashbacks and flash-forwards, chronicling one challenge after another that had already been overcome during my life, and how those life experiences might have enabled me to overcome what the doctor said would not be possible, that is, to walk and to again lead an active and meaningful life.
And so let's talk a little bit about when you were senator in California. You did a whole lot of environmental work. You've really made a big difference in the lives of us Californians out here. What was that like to go from somebody that was such a mover and shaker to basically helpless, right?
Well, that is true. Not basically helpless, but helpless. But my legislative career was very rewarding. I don't regret a second I ever spent in public service. I will add, I'm awfully happy I'm not there today. But what I do today is equally, if not more, rewarding, because what I move today is very spiritual in and of itself, and it enriches me in all sorts of ways.
And another interesting thing that you said, Omer, in Back to the Summit, you write a very moving letter to your son that you have in the book, and it talks about, you know, a lot of people in your career, Jimmy Carter. Name a few more of them for us.
Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan. Ironically, I was very close to each of them. And I think seven different presidents, a lot of international leaders. I was very, very good friends with Evel Knievel, with Steve McQueen, with Johnny Cash, with Charlton Heston, and a lot of other Hollywood celebrities. I represented great corporations, TCI, the world's largest cable television company, Ticketmaster, the Sacramento Kings, the NBA, and many, many others. So, yes, I did know a lot of people, and the Dalai Lama, Nelson Mandela, for whom I served as an advisor to the South African Constitutional Revision Commission. So I've been very blessed. And the point I was trying to make in that letter is that my son's name is Mark. Mark, I really don't know what distinguishes the so-called great or famous people of this world from anyone else, because we all put our pants on one leg at a time. And, you know, it may be a matter of inheritance, it may be a matter of wealth, it may be a matter of luck, but really we're all very much the same. And I really wanted to emphasize that he ought not ever stand in awe of another person, that he will fall, he will fail, because we all do from time to time. And it's not how often you fall, but how often you get up. And, yeah, the letter meant a lot to me at the time I wrote it. And it was written in the aftermath of one of my challenges, a prior challenge that I had overcome, and also written on the occasion of his graduation from high school. So I meant to inspire him because the future was bright for him. He today is a tenured professor of hydrology and geology at the University of South Florida in Tampa. In fact, this year he's on a sabbatical in Alaska and Montana and other places. Has distinguished himself. All my children have. You know, I truly believe what I say, that any one of us with enough willpower, determination, and God-given ability has the opportunity to rise to the occasion and to enjoy a happiness and a meaningful life.
Right, Omer. And one of the things that really stood out in Back to the Summit is your ability to connect with all sorts of different people. I mean, you mentioned Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan. You mentioned that you were close to Ronald Reagan, despite, I'm sure, the differences that you had. And then, of course, your recovery from the aneurysm and the stroke must have required incredible amounts of flexibility and creative thinking on how to recover. But what created that in you? How did you become such a connector with people?
I had never once stopped working from age 11 on, not once. So I had a lot of tenacity, determination, and willpower. And indeed, when I left the hospital, the doctors advised me and admonished me not to even try to get out of bed, not to even try to overcome what had struck me down, because they feared that I would fail and that I would suffer even further injuries, end up back in the hospital, and possibly kill myself inadvertently. But they didn't understand. Well, I think they did understand my life experiences. To this day, I'm told repeatedly by the doctors who were associated with my recovery that there is absolutely no medical explanation for the recovery I made. None. And indeed, none really for me even being alive. You know, I've pondered a lot about why I've been so blessed. You know, some people, including one doctor who said I'm not very religious, but the only explanation I have is that the Creator's not finished with you yet. Others have said, no, my Lord, because of your life, because of your obstacles overcome, your encounters overcome, that you simply had developed so much willpower, so much tenacity, so much drive, so much determination, that it had in one fashion or another enabled you to do things that perhaps others wouldn't try. You know, it started out by trying to move, and when I tried to move just a bit, the next thing was to try to get out of bed, and even though I fell crumbled on the floor, I had a very positive feeling about it. I had done something they said I could not do. And then it was thereafter, one step at a time. When they told me I would never walk again, I didn't say this aloud to them, but I had my own goals. I mean, I was determined that I would walk within 30 days, that I would shoot hoops within 60 days. I had my own timetable, that I would do some spring skiing within 90 days, that I would play some softball and tennis within 120 days, and thereafter everything. And I did. And, you know, it's been written up quite a bit in the medical community and talked about quite a bit. I don't know. I do believe that miracles occur, but I also believe they're usually accompanied by a heck of a lot of tenacity, determination, and willpower. And also, you know, I do a lot of meditation, and I certainly had a lot of time lying in a paralytic state because I was paralyzed for a long period of time. And later in life, I had taken refuge in Tibetan Buddhism. I also did transcendental meditation. I think that helped me. It helped quiet my mind. It helped me think that I've been blessed, I've had a marvelous life, and I've got to get back to that point again. And I also had a strong support group. You know, some people really, really hurt me by not being there for me. But I had people come from overseas to see me, from all over the United States, people local that would come and visit. I was at that time recovering in Carmichael, California, a suburb of Sacramento, but I had one friend in particular, a man named George Galandi, who would drive down repeatedly from Lake Tahoe to be with me. He and I had been very, very close and remain close, and we are very close today. And I think all of that factors into the equation. Can I tell you exactly why I'm alive? Why today I build libraries and economic development projects and women's empowerment centers in Nepal, in India, in Bhutan. I am able to build orphanages down in Nicaragua and Bolivia and elsewhere. I can't answer the question. All I know is that I've been given this opportunity, and I'm going to dedicate my life to it, and I have ever since I recovered. It was a defining moment in my life, no doubt about it.
For more interviews on health, mind, body, and spirit, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. So the stroke and the aneurysm, it sounds like, really dramatically shifted your focus.
I've served for a long time as president, chairman of the board of REED Global. REED is an acronym for Rural Education and Development. And we build libraries and economic development projects and women's empowerment centers in rural and remote parts of the lesser developed world. Most of our focus right now is in areas of Asia where the rate of illiteracy is extremely high. And it wasn't that many decades ago where in Nepal, for example, it was actually against the law to learn to read or write because the monarchy did not want an educated populace. So only members of the monarchy had the ability to read or write. And we set out to address that problem. And we did it right during the Maoist insurrection in Nepal. And almost all INGOs, international non-governmental non-profit organizations, left the country during those years. We did not. And we were never bothered because we assiduously stayed out of politics. We made it clear that we were there to help people, to help people to learn, to read, to write, and to prosper. And that was our goal, nothing else. And both the monarchist and the insurrection led by the Maoist left us alone. As a result, we developed over 50 projects in that one country alone, north, south, east, west, high in the Himalayas, where I continue to work, near Mount Everest, up in the Annapurna range area, and Dalagiri, and Makalu, and the great mountains of the world, and also down in what we call the Terai, or the lowlands, about sea level, near the border with India. And then we had the great opportunity to receive substantial funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And that enabled us to enter India and to begin to do work in various parts of India, in West Bengal, in Manipur, in Haryana, in Rajasthan, and all over the country. And thereafter, we entered Bhutan. So it's a very, very active and highly recognized organization now. And I feel wonderful about the work we do. It enriches me more than probably enriches the people we help. And the same is true, separate and apart from REED, with orphanages and schools that my family is involved in Latin America. It just does a lot for the soul.
For former Senator Raines, if people want to find out more about your work and then, of course, also Back to the Summit, where can they find out more?
Well, I'll give you two website addresses. One is www.backtothesummit.com. The other is my personal website, which is www.senoraines.com. senoraines.com, backtothesummit.com. And it speaks volumes. And the book, this is very meaningful to me and warms my heart because I have some rather extraordinary testimonials and early acclaim for the book, written by academicians, written by scientists, written by people who are in the publishing industry at the highest possible level, many doctors, a number of athletes, certainly some actors and actresses out of Hollywood, perhaps most of all, by some people that I have worked with in villages in the developing world. There weren't that many that got galley proofs of the book in advance, but they wrote very, very moving testimonials. And they're found right in front of the book, and they're found on the website as well, backtothesummit.com. And I think they speak volumes about the book.
And it is. It's an extraordinary story of recovery and dedicating your life to doing something that really matters. And Senator Raines, we want to thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to hearing more about what you're doing in your various projects and wish you the best.
Thank you so kindly. You have a blessed day.
That's the end of our interview with former Senator Omar Raines. I hope you found it helpful. And for more great interviews on motivation, inspiration, health and wellness, and marketing, go to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.